Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with a golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you live here on a getaway Friday night. Friday, May the 27th, 2026. Last Friday in the month of May, 14 coming up on 15 minutes past the hour. And we're joined this hour via telephone by somebody I'm always glad to be joined by. She is a former three-time treasurer of the state of Ohio. She is the 40th treasurer of the United States and the Guinness Book of World Records holder for signing more currency than anybody else in the history of the world. And trust me, that's important tonight with the story we're going to talk about. What a pleasure it is to welcome to these microphones Ohio's favorite daughter, Mary Ellen Withrow. Mary Ellen, how are you?
I'm just fine.
Mary Ellen, good to talk with you. Before we get to the main story tonight, I want to talk about the treasurer's race going on here in Ohio. I know you have big interest in this race. Seth Walsh is the Democratic candidate. There seems to be a kerfluffle going on the Republican side. You've got Jay Edwards in the Republican primary, who's endorsed by J.D. Vance, the vice president. Christina Rogner is endorsed by Vivek Ramaswamy. And now there's kind of dueling endorsements. What do you make of that on the Republican primary?
Well, it's rather interesting. I'm wondering what's going to happen.
Who do you think would have the edge in that primary? Somebody endorsed by Ramaswamy or somebody endorsed by the vice president?
Well, the vice president, I think, has a little more power, so possibly him.
And I want people to know you have, at this point, endorsed and signed up as the honorary chairperson for the candidacy of Seth Walsh.
That's right, yes.
Why is Seth Walsh your guy in this race?
Well, I think he's very qualified. I'm very impressed with him, and I think he'd make a great treasurer.
How do you feel about being the honorary chair?
Oh, I like doing that.
Fun to stay in the game.
Yes, right. Well, I'm glad they still think of me.
Mary Ellen, why do you think there is this divide in the Republican Party? Obviously, not a Republican, but how many times in a primary does the Vice President of the United States endorse one candidate and the candidate for governor endorse the other candidate?
Yes, that's very unusual. I don't know what's going on.
And they both seem to be staying away from Governor DeWine, who's the top office holder in Ohio.
That's right.
It's very interesting. Well, Mary Ellen, I'm going to read this story because this is hot off the presses, and I'm going to read it all the way through because I think people need to hear this story, and I certainly want to get your take for all the reasons we mentioned at the top of this interview. U.S. paper currency will bear President Donald Trump's signature starting this summer. The first time a sitting president has signed American money, the Treasury Department said on Thursday. The redesigned notes, planned to mark the 250th anniversary of American independence, will also, for the first time in 165 years, drop the signature of the U.S. Treasurer, who reports to the Treasury Secretary and oversees the Bureau of Engraving and Printing, the U.S. Mint, and other Treasury functions. The first $100 bills with Trump's signature and that of the U.S. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent will be printed in June, followed by other bills in subsequent months. The new bills may take several weeks to circulate through the banks. The Treasury is still producing notes bearing the signatures of former President Joe Biden's Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen and former Treasurer Lynn Malerba? I think is how it's pronounced. Malerba will be the last of an unbroken line of treasurers whose signatures have appeared on U.S. federal currency since 1861, when the government first issued it. The signatures change is the latest effort by the Trump administration and its allies to put the president's name on buildings, institutions, government programs, warships, and coins. A federal arts panel, whose members Trump appointed, approved last week the design for a commemorative gold coin with Trump's image. Bassett said in a statement that the move was appropriate for the 250th anniversary, given strong U.S. economic growth and financial stability during Trump's second term. There is no more powerful way to recognize the historic achievements of our great country and President Donald J. Trump than U.S. dollar bills bearing his name, and it is only appropriate that his historic currency be issued at the 250th anniversary of this country, Bassett said. The overall designs of bills will not change except for Trump's signature replacing the treasurer's, Treasury officials said. A mock-up of the bill is not immediately available. Malerba, the former treasurer, declined comment on the Trump administration's move. Her predecessor, Jovita Carranza, who served as treasurer in Trump's first term, called the change a powerful symbol of American resilience, the enduring strength of free enterprise, and the promise of continued greatness. The current treasurer, Brandon Beach, whose name has not appeared on the currency, also issued a supportive statement saying Trump was the architect of a golden age economic revival. Well, Mary Ellen, right now, you hold the record, Guinness Book of World Records. More currency has your name on it than anybody. And here we go. For the first time since 1861, the treasurer's name will not be on the money. How does that make you feel?
Well, I thought that's what you wanted to talk to me about.
It is.
I saw it on the news this morning, and I thought, well, he doesn't have enough to do.
As the oldest living president, or treasurer at this point, former treasurer, and the Guinness Book of World Records holder, how does this feel that the treasurer's name will no longer be on the money?
Well, I think that I think it's a mistake for him to be on everything, and I think least of all the money. I don't care for his making another dollar coin either.
What do you make of changes like this to something you spent your life doing on the local, state, and national level?
Yes, well, first of all, he should be paying more attention to the war, and who knows what's going on there, because every day it's a different story, and I think that's what he should be working on instead of signing money and doing other things.
You know, it's so interesting. 1861, I'm sure you knew this, that the treasurer's name has appeared on the money, and apparently within the stroke of a pen, it can disappear, and the current treasurer apparently thinks this is a great move.
Well, of course, because he was appointed by Trump.
If you could speak to Secretary of the Treasury Scott Bessette, what would you say to him in regard to this move?
Well, I think Bessette is, well, they're all totally Trump people, and he's going to do whatever Trump wants, so there you are.
If you were invited back to Treasury today, would you go at this point with the way it's being
done? No, no, no.
Why would you decline the visit?
Well, I would not work for Trump.
If you were invited back for a visit, would you go back for the visit?
I don't know. I've gone back for visits, but I've not gone back for this organization, and I don't think I would.
What is it about this particular president that bothers you the most?
Oh, there's so many things, I can't tell you all of them.
How would you sum him up to somebody who doesn't follow politics?
Well, he's spending so much time doing things that aren't important, that aren't taking care of the people in the United States. He needs to be taking care of the people here and not doing what he's doing.
How do you feel about the $4 gas prices and the war in Iran right now?
Well, I think the war in Iran was a terrible mistake. I think he's got him into something here that's going to be very difficult to get out of. And we've caused so many countries to be upset with us over it. And I just think it's that all of it was wrong.
You know, Mary Ellen, we've talked in the past about meeting presidents. Would you ever want to meet this president?
Well, I would. What? What?
Oh, still there, Mary Ellen?
Yeah.
Yeah. What would you say to? Would you ever want to meet this president?
Oh, sure, I'd meet him.
What would you say to him? You know, you get those few minutes with a president when you meet him. What would you say to him?
I'd say hello, and that's about it.
Is there any, what advice would you give him? You never know. Who knows what gets back to him? He watches a lot of television. What advice would you give to him on this particular issue about taking the treasurer's name off the money and why he should not do this as a former U.S. treasurer?
I would not try to tell him anything.
Do you think that the treasurer's name will end up back on the money?
I don't know. It's going to be interesting what happens after this, but I would think it would go back to the original, but we'll see.
You know, we talk so much about the Guinness Book of World Records, your name being on more currency than anybody else in the history of the world at this particular point. What does that mean to you in your career?
Well, I think it's very important. I was very proud of that fact.
And now, President Trump's name will be on the currency as we pass the 250th anniversary of this country. How would you describe the state of the country as we pass 250 this coming July 4th?
Well, I think we're having some really bad decisions being made, and it's I just don't think he's paying attention to the people of this country. He's got his mind on other things that are not important to us.
When you first saw this on the news, you know, obviously not a fan of it, but did it bother you in any way that this is where you worked? Obviously different people were there under the Clinton administration, but this is where you worked. You talked about the process of having your name put on the money. Everybody knows your signature, and yet now this is being done. When that story first came across the news, what was your initial reaction?
I thought, well, there we go.
There we go. And he doesn't have enough to do.
Yeah, right.
Well, you know, you're the first person I thought of when I heard this story, Mary Ellen, and it's...
Yes.
It certainly is different. You know, Mary Ellen, being the eldest living treasurer at this point, what does that mean to you?
Well, it's just one of those things that happened.
A good thing for all of us, though.
Oh, okay.
Mary Ellen, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, and, you know, I'm sure we will see each other again soon, and heaven knows, during these times, there's never a lack of things to talk about.
That's right, I know.
Mary Ellen, always great to talk with you.
Yes, you too.
Thank you, bye-bye.
Bye.
The 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. There you go. Well, Matt, that's a story.
She held it together a lot better than I thought she was going to.
Well, I liked the line. What did you think of when the story came across the television? He didn't have enough to do. So there you go. And that's Mary Ellen.
I don't know what Trump thinks he's doing. I don't know. He doesn't make any sense most of the time.
I don't know what anybody's doing anymore. By the way, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. All right, go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, Trump says he doesn't use the auto PIN like all other presidents did. Boy, he better start signing.
Well, what do you? I mean, this hits us hard here in Marion. I mean, this is our favorite daughter became Treasurer of the United States, Treasurer of the State of Ohio, Guinness Book of World Records for signature on more money than anybody else. And come this summer, the treasurer's name will no longer be on the money for the first time since 1861.
Why, the future presidents think they'll go back to the treasurer. I mean, nobody's that vain to want to keep their name on the money like that. But, you know, most people go into that job, they go in to serve. They don't go in to serve themselves, you know. I mean, you know what I think of him, so you know what I think of it. You know, it's, everything's the greatest. You know, he has the highest test scores. You know, putting all that gold all over the White House, tearing down the East Wing. When I heard that, I thought maybe the Republicans was going to stand up and have a backbone, and nope, unfortunately they don't.
Well, I guess when people, starting this summer, when people go into their pockets and go into the cash registers, there will be Trump's signature.
Yeah, just everything's going up, you know. My house payment went up $40. Taxes and insurance went up. So it's up an extra $40 a month.
Well, what did you make of what Mary Ellen had to say?
Well, I figured that, you know, probably be the way. I was surprised she said she would like to meet him. I couldn't meet him because I'd be spitting on him or try to hit him with my cane or something. I couldn't be around him. If anything else, I'd start cussing him and telling him what he is.
Well,
you know, so I'm better off not to be around the man, you know. I had despised him when I was younger, when I was in my 20s, 30s. I just don't. And everybody thinks he's so smart. He talks and acts like a little kid. And I told you how he gets his war news today. He don't like to read, so he don't read all those reports.
So he gets the video made for him every day.
Yeah, they make a video for him for the war.
What did you make of, did you happen to hear the first hour?
Yeah, well, no, not much of it.
Well, I tell you, she's an interesting candidate, Kim Georgeston, the lieutenant governor for Casey Putsch. What do you make of this fray in the Republican Party?
Well, I think it's good. I mean, Trump ain't going to be able to do those Republicans much good anymore. You know, even after 2028, you know, and his endorsement don't mean crap now. What's it going to mean, you know, later on? I don't know why everybody's so damn scared of him.
I don't know. I think it's very... What do you make of this Republican treasurer's race, though? I think that's fascinating. Jay Edwards has got J.D. Vance's endorsement, and Christina Rogner has got Vivek Ramaswamy's endorsement.
Well, I don't care for either one of those candidates. First of all, I don't want to say Ramaswamy all the time. And that ain't bad to say his first name. Vivek. How do you pronounce his first name?
Vivek.
Vivek?
Yeah, Vivek.
I mean, I don't want a president named Saddam Hussein either.
See, I think this might be Vivek's problem.
I just don't
no, but I listen. I think that's going to be a problem. See, Matt believes that this is not a problem in counties. I'm telling you. Okay, Matt, it's not a problem. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know.
Well, I just don't think people want to elect somebody with a name like that.
Okay.
Especially their president. I can see you know, for their city council or even
why
state
not?
Government. But
he's from Ohio just like you are.
Who is?
Vivek.
Oh, where was he born at?
Ohio, Cincinnati.
Well, maybe eat Gold Star chili then. Or whatever that stuff is.
Okay. Well, there we go. Well, thanks for calling.
Yep.
All right. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. You don't believe that's going to... Mary Ellen has told you it's going to be a problem. I have told you it's going to be a problem. The callers are telling you it's going to be a problem. Casey Putch has said it's going to be a problem. Jim Renacci has said it's going to be a problem.
I think the
you don't understand.
I think the Hinduism is going to be a bigger problem than the race or the name.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe that, I don't know. Maybe that's just a me thing. But I mean, I don't know.
We got lots to talk about next hour.
He's from Ohio. I mean, he's just as American as I am.
If he wins, good. But I'm just saying that there's a reason we haven't had a female governor, and there's a reason we've all not had any non-white governors. It isn't just a coincidence, and it's a problem. And I don't know which way it breaks. In this particular election, except for the fact that the Republican Party seems to be turning on Ramaswamy. So that's two strikes. Amy Acton's got one. She's got the woman thing. He's got two. He's got, not only is his own party turning on him, but he's got the fact that he is not a white man, which is all we've ever had.
And he's not Christian.
Well,
I think the Christian thing's going to matter more, like I said. I mean,
but that goes hand in hand with the name. It goes hand in hand.
Churches love to play the politics.
Well, I wish it wasn't that way, by the way, but to think that it's not. It may not be in Columbus. It may not be in Cincinnati. It may not be in Cleveland.
I just don't think it's going to be at... Yes, will there be people who don't vote for him for those reasons? Yes, I'm sure. But I don't think it's going to... I mean, I think he's going to win the primary. I mean, I guess...
We spent $10 million. I hope he does.
Well, I mean, I suppose he could always, like... You know, I don't know. Maybe he is going to lose enough people come general election time that... or enough people aren't going to vote for him come general election time that it'll cost him the election.
Okay.
But I don't know.
Anyway, the phone lines are open if you want to comment on any of this.
I think he'll do just fine.
Whatever. Well, how do you feel?
About?
You're a Marianite. What about this whole, I mean, this is a direct shot at Marion, Ohio, this Trump money, name on the money thing.
Well, I mean, you know, I would need... You know who puts their name on money? Kings and dictators and Caesar. You know, everybody loved Caesar until they stabbed him in the back, you know.
Well, we'll see. But boy, these people are happy. Scott Bessent, the Treasury Secretary, he's excited. The Treasurer, who's not going to have his name on any of the money, he's excited. A golden age of economic revival, says Brandon Beach, the Treasurer of the United States.
Yeah,
this
luck.
Poor man wanted his name on the money. No, too bad.
I don't know what any of them are doing. I mean, I guess because Trump could always just be like, well, if you're doing a bad job, fired, and then, you know, but...
Well, let's do... This is a very interesting... By the way, Tiger Woods was arrested today.
Yeah, I saw.
I don't know what he's doing.
Apparently. Yeah, he got a DUI charge. Apparently, he ruled his car in Florida.
Yeah, that's a problem. But now, here's something. I didn't even know about this. There was a landmark court ruling in California. A jury found that Meta, which controls YouTube, a lot of social media sites, and YouTube are liable for letting a young woman get addicted to social media and causing her depression. That's a big
How
deal.
How are you going to hold them liable for
that? Well, the court did.
How? I don't know.
Well, I think...
I'm a big fan of the regulating of social media, but I don't know that you can hold them liable for something like that.
It's addiction.
Yes. As a matter of fact, a lot of social media companies like direct specifically manufacture it to be addicting.
That's it. It's like the tobacco cases of years ago.
But, like, what are you going to do, slap a logo? They're just going to, like, what's they're going to do, or best they can do, I guess, is going to they're going to slap a logo on it that says, addicting.
Right, but is that what's going to happen?
You tell me people didn't know that cigarettes and tobacco were addicting before they slapped a logo that says, cigarettes and tobacco may, you know, the nicotine is an addictive chemical.
All right, I don't think they knew that it would cause the, I don't think the public knew that. No, I don't think they did. No. If you go back and listen to people talk in that era before the Surgeon General decided that this was hazardous to your health, there were tobacco ads on television. There were tobacco ads in magazines. Everybody in movies and television smoked. It was a big deal. Why do you think people have stopped? Just got smarter? No. It's because they weren't being told.
Well, I know a lot of older people who quit because cigarettes were like, really cheap, and then all of a sudden now it's like, you know, pretty close to $10 a pack of cigarettes.
You really think that people think that social media is addicting? They see it as something that can cause depression. That they don't. Do you think they realize there are people who sit in a room and are trying to develop ways to keep you from turning away from that phone? I mean, I don't think they do.
Well, I mean, well, I don't know. I watched a whole documentary about it, I suppose, but
see, that's your. You see everything as you see it. You don't. You cannot put
I'm
your.
Me.
Well, yeah, but you've got to be able to put yourself in somebody else's shoes who isn't interested in the same things as you are.
Why do you think everybody's looking at their phone all the time? It's just a coincidence.
Because people see it as a convenience. They don't think of it as an addictive... I was reading in this court case, do you know how much time a day people spend on their phone? A day.
There's... No, I mean, I don't know how. I mean, you could... I don't know.
Well, they've got it. Huh?
5 hours.
5 hours.
Oh, on the head.
And you know what that is, a year?
Well, I mean, you know, you get 8 hours in a day, so like almost, you know, a little under a third of a year.
No, I mean time-wise. You know what it is?
No, how many?
2.5 months. So a whole summer, people spent, if you just sat on the phone and never moved and never slept, you would spend your whole summer on the phone. That's the time people devote to it. I don't know that people ever devoted that much time to any medium because they weren't developed to be addictive. Television wasn't developed to be addictive. It was developed to be entertaining. They wanted you to watch it. Radio, the same thing. Newspapers, the same thing. Magazines, the same thing. But they weren't developed to get you to not go away. It wasn't driven by algorithms. They didn't know what you were watching in your home or listening to.
Oh, but people like that because then the recommendations that it pops
right, but
up.
That's the addicting part.
Yeah,
and there's got to be, and it does cause depression.
Yeah, it's called the Institute for Humane Technology. I can't think of the documentary they made, but it's like the I don't know a whole bunch of people who are execs at like Google and Facebook and Apple and things like that. But yeah, the phones are designed to trigger the same mechanism in your brain as slot machines.
Right, but you don't find any coincidence that people who spend a lot of time on their phones seem to be the most depressed people?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I've told many of people get off TikTok, and I promise you your life will be better.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, you know, we have legal carry.
Yeah.
But you just can't wait, you know, put a gun on a holster around your waist or, you know, show the gun.
I think in Ohio
well,
now.
The same thing
I don't want to say that. Never mind. I'm not certain.
Wait, I didn't hear the what?
I said we have legal carry.
Yeah.
But it's concealed carry. You're not allowed to open carry it on your body unless you are some type of law enforcement or have clearance for that.
Right.
And that's the same way the phone should be.
Well, do you like this?
Use your phone.
Yeah.
Do you like this?
If you're in Walmart, you should have to go outside. And there's plenty of room outside out front of that store where you can go off to yourself and use your phone. But if you're in Walmart and people hear you on the phone, they have to kick you out.
All right.
I don't need to listen to everybody else's. You know, conversation. You know, should be disturbing the peace or something.
So you like this ruling?
What ruling?
The case. This is how we got on this topic. There was a landmark court ruling in California where
if all these big social media people get sued out their ass, maybe there'd be less stuff on there for people to spend all their time on the dang phone on it.
There we go. Thank you.
Yep.
And again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Okay.
By the way, I did just want to say this. It used to be you were allowed to open carry but not conceal carry, not the other way around. But now they passed a law to where you're allowed to do both without a license. So you can conceal carry now without a CCW. Or, conceal carry license, CCL, whatever you want to call it.
I don't know about this whole thing.
So
I just think this when
you
they
can,
say
you can open carry and conceal carry.
Right, but back to home base here.
Yeah, sorry, I just wanted
Listen, all I'm saying is that this is a landmark, and people are going to look back to this because the first case that goes this way.
Yeah, that's how. Yep, the American justice system. That whole thing goes on precedent.
Right.
Yeah.
So again, remember me talking about this because this is going to come up a lot.
That's right. In Supreme Court cases about 100 years from now, they're going to pull up this exact show.
All I'm saying is that about time.
Well, yes, it's landmark, but it's only landmark in the United States. I mean, like Australia.
Oh, and other countries, they're already doing things.
Yes, other countries have been doing things for at least a decade now.
What do you make of people who make these fake posts on social media? I mean, we were talking about one earlier.
I don't know why you would intentionally misinform people.
No, I'm not talking about that.
Oh, well, I don't know.
They're not listening, so I can talk about this.
I think
But they're, honest to God, when I don't understand. Listen, I get that you probably like the people you're around. But when you do a post that is so gushy, what is that? I mean, do we need to know that? Why do people do that?
I think people just like to share.
You think that's what that is?
I mean, a lot of the times I don't believe it. I mean,
the post I read to you earlier,
yeah,
I'm not going to read it.
I know what you're
You think
about.
That that's normal?
People do it all the time.
Well, right?
It's normal
it
to that
normal.
Extent, but I mean, I don't know that it's, I don't think it's, I don't think it's true most of the time.
And that's my point. Why do it if it's not true?
Yep. Well, I think you should just maybe tell those people.
Anyway, there you go. You heard it here first. Democratic presidential hopefuls, candidates, are talking about childhood traumas.
Which ones?
Well, give me a second.
Okay.
Former Governor Gavin Newsom is talking about his parents' divorce. Governor Shapiro is talking about his unstable mother. And Governor Pritzker is talking about his alcoholic mom. So, does that make these people more...
That's good.
There you go. Right down the chute. It's always mom. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, when you share all that stuff about your life, you're just inviting some type of crime. I mean, you might not have nothing, and they can get all your Social Security number and open up loans and stuff in your name. Or you might have a lot of money, and you post all about your kids all the time, every day. When they go to the babysitter or daycare, blah, blah, blah. So that just makes somebody want to kidnap your kid to get some money, and you just tell them everywhere your kid's going to be.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's
stupid.
I agree, yeah. I mean, I don't know why you can't... I don't think it's good to go posting your kids on social media because now people know what your kids look like. They know your kids' names. And if you post them at specific locations, such as a school that they go to, I mean, they could, be like, hey,
You should be posting anything.
No, yes.
You might post something on there that you might not think it's a big deal, but the company you work at thinks it's a big deal, you're let go. Well, if you didn't post the stuff in the first place, they wouldn't know how you felt about something.
I don't know why people have to vent now. I don't understand it. And I don't understand why people have to profess things on social media. Now, anything I've ever done, I do for promotion. You can go down my thing. It's all about promotion. I mean, you've got to promote it if you're doing a show. That's common sense. But I don't do it just to do it.
Well, I recently got the computer, and I'm on, you know, I'm on Facebook. Well, when you're on Marketplace, they only let you be on Marketplace so long, and then they pop this, like, page you would normally get when you, you know, sign on to Facebook, where they want you to go, you know, talk to different people, or, you know, get in these groups, and you can't be on Facebook without that. If you're on it so long, it's going to pop up every time.
By the way, I do want to plug, speaking of Facebook, that we, our episode, that our TV show that we taped on Wednesday, the guests were Mary Ellen Withrow, came back after a month's absence, so glad to have her back. But we also had author David Myers on and his daughter, Elise Myers Walker. And they talk about the history books that they have written on Ohio, about Lazarus, about Ohio prisons, about all kinds of things. That's on YouTube.
Is his daughter good looking? Put a picture on the Facebook, and maybe somebody will see her and say, hey, man, I'd like a piece of that.
No.
You know, go rape her or something.
No.
Put all your information out there. Tell them when you're going to be here, and when you're going to be here, and when you're going to be here, so they can find you.
I'm just saying, watch the show and learn about Lazarus. That's all you got to do.
I'll watch the show.
Okay. Well, don't sound so happy about it.
Okay.
Thank
later.
You. Bye-bye. Lord have mercy.
Just had to put a plug in there. That's all I'm trying to do. You want to learn about Lazarus? Hey, by the way, before you go to prison, you can learn about it. Learn about the history of Ohio's prisons. 740-383-9944. Just go to YouTube, search Scott Spears, Mary Ellen Withrow, David Myers, and you'll get the whole thing. We're everywhere.
Well, that's how you do it.
Facebook, YouTube. See, we're all part of all this addictive culture. The trauma of the Democratic candidates.
What was the question?
What do you make of it? Does this help them? Make them relatable?
I mean, I don't think it helps them. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what's helpful about it. I mean, I don't think it's hurtful, I guess. I mean, I don't know.
It's always mom, though. I feel bad for these people. Gavin Newsom says his parents got a divorce. That was his trauma.
Yeah, but how is that his mom's fault?
Well, she's part of it.
Well, I mean, 50,
Governor
50.
Shapiro said his mother was unstable, and Governor Pritzker said he had an alcoholic mom.
Well,
whatever.
I mean, I don't know what difference it makes.
You know, I heard Mary Trump on some show say that Who's Mary Trump? A relative of Donald Trump.
I see.
Yeah. And she said that Trump had an absent mother and a sociopathic, highly functioning father. And that's why he's the way he is.
Fred.
Yeah. She said he was sociopathic and highly functioning. But his mother was absent.
Well, that's how you be a good businessman. See, Fred was actually good at business, I think.
It's not good to be a sociopath.
Well, you know, sociopaths is like you just don't feel the emotions. You can cut people off at the kneecaps and feel no guilt about it. So you make a pretty good cutthroat businessman.
Would you call Trump a sociopath, Donald Trump?
I think Donald Trump is a lunatic. I don't think he's a sociopath. Sociopaths tend to use logic in place of emotion.
But there's
99.9%.
I don't like
this.
Trump
has no logic.
I don't like this no emotion sociopath thing. Because I think there are more aspects to sociopath that you are. I don't think it's just no emotion.
Well, yeah, I mean, there are more things to it.
Right.
I guess.
But why would you lay on that? But everybody who doesn't show emotion is not a sociopath.
No. Don't show.
I think it's more don't feel guilt.
Don't show and don't have are different things.
But I think, but that's, how do you know? You don't really know. And I think.
I mean, if you can cut people off at the kneecaps and not feel guilty about it, then yes, I mean, you're probably a sociopath.
But you don't know if they feel it or not. You just know they did it.
Well, if you felt sorry about it, you probably wouldn't have done it.
That's not true. That's not true. I know people who've cut people's throat and.
All I'm saying is no billionaire becomes a billionaire by playing 100% legitimately.
You know what? And here's the thing.
Everybody steps
money
on somebody's shoulders.
Money doesn't make people happy.
Everybody steps on somebody's shoulders.
Billionaires always seem to be angry.
Well, you know, they're trying to make more money.
That's right. They have no... I don't know.
Oh, speaking of, Elon Musk
has got money.
Elon Musk has a net worth of $836 billion now.
Well, good for him.
Yep. I learned that's enough to tie a ribbon in $100 bills that goes around the Earth and the moon
twice.
Because
you went?
Because I went to see Neil deGrasse Tyson.
You'll be talking about that tonight, right?
Yes, I will, a little bit.
How many people were there?
There was actually a lot more than Ticketmaster was making it look like. I don't know.
Well, what? Guess it.
1,200.
It was not 1,200 people there.
I don't know.
That is, boy, that's terrible.
That was probably pretty close. I mean, it was
1,200. I don't think so.
I mean, how many? One second. Here, let's see. Let's see how
in
many.
In any event,
how many people can the Mershon Auditorium hold? Do you know?
No.
Well, I don't know what to tell you.
Where is that?
Columbus.
I understand that. Be a little more specific.
Campus.
Okay, I don't know. It's not very big.
It's like 5 to 10 minutes away from the Schottenstein Center. It's not far.
See, they didn't have it at the Schottenstein Center.
They did not.
They knew they couldn't. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. 6 minutes left in the program. You know, I think this is the right day. Yes, we have no bananas today.
Yeah, they probably had about 1,200 people there. Okay. Seating capacity is 2,400. 2,400.
It was half full.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Well, I mean, the lower level, like where we were, was all full, but they also had a balcony, but I didn't know
but
what
you
the
were disappointed.
I expected it to be more like a, I mean, it was good. I just expected it to be more like a lecture. I thought we were going to talk about space and astrophysics and then, you know, I don't know, things like that. Like, I thought it was going to be more like his podcast where he, you know, he talks about, you know, science more.
People don't care.
But it was more like a show thing. It was more like a presentation.
By the way, there's a No Kings rally tomorrow, 12 to 2 in front of the courthouse. All kinds of stuff going on. Night at the Museum is tomorrow. Heritage Hall, 6 o'clock, I believe.
Oh, that'll be good.
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff going on tomorrow.
That's exciting.
But last Saturday in March.
Maybe I'll go to a hockey game.
You work, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, there you ain't going to a hockey game.
Well, you know. I could like go like 120 down 23 and make it there.
Did you ever say anything about these people and their mothers?
I mean, I don't know what to say. I mean, I don't think it really matters. I mean, what does that have to do with politics? Congrats.
Well, I think it makes you relatable.
If you want to be relatable, try, I don't know, dressing like a normal person. I don't know. Doing something. I don't think talking about how bad your parents are makes you relatable.
You don't think they dress like normal people?
Normal people don't. Well, I don't know. I guess they dress like normal people. I changed my mind.
I think they do.
Yeah. For some reason, I was just thinking they're wearing, like, tuxedos all the time, but then I actually pictured them, and I was like, no, they wear, like, dress shirts, but that's about it.
Anne Hathaway, actress, says that she had uncompromising focus before she had kids. Now she finds focus difficult.
Well, that's no good.
That's what kids do to you.
Well, kids are no good for you. I could have told you that.
Yeah, but I think it's interesting that she admits it. We talked about this earlier. People who talk about being a mother is their whole whoop-de-doo.
Oh, somebody was... I was talking to somebody about Barack Obama the other day, and we were talking about how when he retired from presidency, you know, he had, like, the gray head of hair. And you know, I was like, well, yeah. You know, I was like, you know, I would imagine a presidency would do that to somebody. And then they made a joke and said, no, it's because he had two teenage daughters while he was president.
Could have been. And a mother-in-law who lived at the White House.
The teenage daughters did it in.
And a mother-in-law who lived at the White House.
Ooh, that'd be rough.
That was a tough house for him. Tough house for him. You know, a lot of people look back on Obama very fondly.
Yeah, I mean, I don't dislike Obama. Obama did in fact airstrike a lot of people. I was opposed to that. You know, well, I guess I was a child, so I wasn't really thinking about
certainly
it.
Certainly
changed. Am opposed. Yes. Yes, I do remember. I remember the legalization of gay marriage.
That was a big day.
I remember that.
We were on the air when that happened. There's a show somewhere. We did a show the day after that was a thing. I forget who we had on. I'm sure we had somebody on.
That's good.
It's all a blur at this point.
Well, that was a while ago.
You know, I remember one time we interviewed this guy. I'm sure he's dead now. But he was in his 90s, and he was, I think, a World War II veteran, but he was gay, and could not say he was gay. And I think we had him on right after that decision. But you know what his nickname was?
What was that?
Twink.
All right.
Hey, well, that's what we called him. We wanted to be called Twink.
Twink.
Yeah.
All right.
See?
Okay.
Go find that interview somewhere.
Well, that'll be good.
I don't know. See, you say something and it sparks it in my brain. Twink was his. I can't. I'm sure he's got
to
be dead now.
World War II veterans are cool. I would
there
love
many
to,
of them left.
Yeah, I know. I would love to talk to a World War II veteran.
All right, let's go to the phones. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, but Scott Bessa, he was in the military too, and he was gay. He never revealed it.
You know, I think there have been a lot of gay people in the military over the years. I don't know why this has been a thing. Don't ask, don't tell.
Yeah, I don't know why people need to talk about their dang sex life like that anyhow. I mean, maybe if you was good friends, you might, but, you know, you go to a family reunion and you meet Joe and you start talking about your sex life.
Well, I think these people are in foxholes together.
Well, that could be, yeah. You know, and after that, you're in that foxhole and that dirty sweat smell. I mean, I guess it just, you know, drives you nuts. I don't know.
Well, I... What? No, I don't
Dude,
think
listen,
that's
Listen, doing this show can drive you nuts.
I'm not against gay people. I mean, I just don't think it's for me. But don't rub your gayness in my face.
Well, I don't... Is somebody...
Look at Elwood. How many times did she have that Porsche girl on her show? You know, did you ever hear David Letterman or anybody talk about their wife? Oh, we just love getting it on. We're swingers.
Is that what Ellen talked about on her show?
Not that, but she had her girlfriend on the show. I don't know.
But
how many
no, times, no, it wasn't
she talked about her.
But isn't Portia an actress?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you think Walter Cronkite talked about his woman?
She was not an actress.
Who wasn't?
Betsy Cronkite.
Oh. Well, you know her personally?
Yes, I knew her personally.
Did you ever interview Walter Cronkite?
No, I did not interview Walter Cronkite, but when Walter Cronkite died, I interviewed Walter Cronkite's secretary. And I'll tell you, when somebody dies, that's the person you want to talk to. They got all the dirt.
Yeah. It would have been nice if you would have had Walter Cronkite, you know, because you've had a lot of big names, and that would have been one big one on your list.
I think, if I remember right, I think he was rather along in years by the time I got into this. I think he died like 2009, 2008, somewhere in that era. And I think
he was probably pretty much retired by the time you got into
well,
it, too.
Well, if I remember right, the reason I had his secretary's contact was because I had invited him on, and I hope I have this right, I think he had a hearing issue. And he wasn't doing many interviews, period, because he couldn't hear well. And over the phone, it would have been worse. And I don't think he wanted to be seen like that, mishearing the question or having to say, what did you say during the whole thing? You know, I think that's what happened. I know that happened with Bob Hope.
It's like Muhammad Ali. He should have got out a little bit sooner than he did. You know, because there for a while, you know, you remembered Ali for coming back too many times and getting his ass beat, but... You know, he was a great performer and stuff.
Hey, when we were at the Hall of Fame, we met Lonnie Ali.
Carrington interviewed her.
Yes. Do what?
His wife.
Oh. How much younger was she than him?
A little bit. Not a whole lot, I don't think. Hmm. Nice lady.
Yeah.
We had dinner with her.
Yeah, wonderful lady.
You had to get her on for an interview.
Well, Carrington interviewed her, but I don't think the interview has ever aired.
It's with Carrington.
She took it with her. I'm telling you, there's a whole thing. There's a whole weekend there that she
There's a whole show there somewhere.
Had
well, you know, you can't take classified documents home. Tell her that.
We should have her arrested.
Right.
That's right.
I know where she is. We should have her arrested.
Yep, send the FBI down there. Send Pam Bondi down there.
Well, she's Johnny on the spot.
Thanks for calling.
Yep.
All right. Well, have you learned anything tonight?
Well, I did. I learned that Trump's putting his name on the money. That's going to be something I'm talking about next hour.
For the first time since 1861, the treasurer's name will not be on the money.
Why 1861?
It's when it started.
All right. Well,
it's been an unbroken line of treasurers since 1861.
Imagine not putting the first treasurer on the money. Well, we had state money for a while, I guess.
I don't know why. Why is this being done?
Is there still Confederate money around? Can I buy Confederate money?
I'm sure it's somewhere.
I want to buy some Confederate money. That'd be pretty cool.
So, coming up next.
I'm going to be talking about the war in Iran, politics, and should that end football?
The money.
Oh, yes. Well, the money's on there, yes.
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
The whole nine.
The whole shebang coming up. Well, we thank Mary Ellen Withrow for joining us tonight. That's always a pleasure. We thank Kim Georgeton, who is the lieutenant governor candidate in the Republican primary, paired up with Casey Putch, coming up on Cinco de Mayo. Boy, we'll have campaign coverage here like nobody's business.
Well, that'll be good. I'm excited.
It's going to be big. All right. For this day, for this night, just in time, Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Hi, it's Tori DeVito. In every family, small conversations can make a big impact. I grew up on tour with my parents. Kind of different, but we bonded over music just like other families do over sports, camping, or other interests. And we talked. Little everyday conversations